Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
We're starting a brand new series today, and it's called Leaders and Lovers. Interesting title, eh? Interesting title. Before we begin, let's bow our heads and let's pray God's blessing over the word of God this morning. Father, I pray that you would anoint my mouth and anoint this message as it comes forth. Cause it to be heard by our ears that are open to hear what the Spirit of God wants to say through the word of God. Thank you for teaching us and training us, encouraging us, stirring us, provoking us through the word of God. We receive it by faith. Lord, and help us to live this word out as we hear it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So, brand new series. I want to tell you, if there's one thing that God's looking for on earth today, he's looking for leaders. Would you agree with that? God is looking for leaders. And today, we're going to look at an interesting, amazing character in the Bible, who is David. And David was a leader. But just like David, there are other people in the Bible, other men in the Bible whose lives actually pointed to the greatest leader ever, who is, what's his name? Jesus Christ, the greatest leader ever. But because he's a real person, we can look at his life and we can see and learn some incredible truths about what it is to be a leader and what this incredible, powerful thing called leadership is. So we're going to start by looking at 1 Samuel chapter 16. And this is what it says. 1 Samuel 16 verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." Now, Jesse is a godly man, and he's got 8 sons, okay? Now, the background in this is this. Saul is the present king, but Saul has gotten off track of God's plan. So God is saying, "I can't use Saul anymore as a leader. So Jesse, I want you to find another leader." So Samuel, go and find another leader. So Samuel the prophet is grieved because he knows that Saul has not been the leader he could have been and not been the leader he should have been. And so he's grieved in his heart, but he listens to the Lord. So here we have Samuel. Samuel is a leader. In fact, he's a leader of leaders. So we see in this story, in these scriptures, the leader of leaders going to look for the next generational leader, right? Now, just hold that thought in mind. I want you to look at this graph, this chart. This is an age demographic chart that represents generations. Now, the first generation or first group of people represented today in our society is the traditionalist. The traditionalist was born between 1923 and 44, is aged 72 to 93. Do we have a few traditionalists here? There's a few. I know you're not going to raise your hand. Listen, you are older, but you're young at heart, right? We need more traditionalists in the church. Would you agree with that? Next group, baby boomers, 1945 to 64, ages 52 to 71. We need more baby boomers here. You know, baby boomers are getting, you know, their kids are moving out. They got more time. They're maybe leaving their careers, but they're looking for more things to do. We need to pray more baby boomers into our church, right? And the next group is Generation X, ages 35 to 51. Lots of Generation X's represented here in our family here today, right? And then we have the millennials from 1982 to 2004. Give a shout if you're a millennial today. Woo! See? Lots of millennials, right? Lots of millennials. Then we have the post-millennials from ages 1 to 11. But in today's term, generationally, Samuel would be described as a baby boomer looking for a millennial next generation leader, right? Okay. I want you to see some things from the scripture when it comes to leaders, when God's looking for leaders. Number one, God is looking for leaders, right? God is looking for leaders. Every time God wanted to do something, he looked for a leader. Now, I want to tell you today, God is not just looking for one leader. He's looking for leaders, teams of leaders. God wants to multiply leaders, right? So, because it's leaders, it's these teams of leaders that will influence their generation and for future generations for Jesus Christ. So God is looking for many, many leaders. For too long, I think we've had some wrong thoughts when it comes to leaders and leadership. And here's a wrong thought. This is wrong. Leadership is something meant only for a few. It's only for a few select. It's only for those who were born to be leaders. Wrong. You know what's right? Here's what's right. Leadership is something that all of us are meant to do. Does that mean you? Yes, that means you. All of us are meant to be leaders. You know, have you heard that term? There are too many chiefs and not enough Indians. Have you heard that term? Well, when it comes to leaders, it's the other way around. There are not enough chiefs. There are not enough leaders. God wants more leaders today. So God's looking for leaders, and every one of those demographics in every sphere of life to influence the world. God needs leaders to influence the world. He's looking for good leaders. He's looking for healthy leaders. And he's looking to empower leaders. You know why he wants to empower leaders? Because an empowered leader is the greatest threat to mediocrity, complacency, to purposelessness, right? To the status quo, to people going in the wrong direction. So that's why God wants leaders. So it's teams of leaders that can change a culture. It's teams of leaders that can change a community, a church, a city, a nation for God. God is looking for leaders. Can I say this? If you're a leader and you consider yourself to be a leader, you need to be looking at bringing someone along with you to help you lead. Help get people to help you lead. And if you're not a leader yet, then start looking for a leader that you can get alongside to help them lead by serving them. Amen? You know, because when you help a leader to lead, you end up helping yourself. By learning how to serve a leader, you become a leader. That's a God principle. God is looking for leaders. You know, and let's get rid of this false concept that leadership is all about title, office, right? You know, a position. Listen, you know, the weakest leader is the leader who tries to lead from position. Well, I'm the boss. See my name tag? Boss. See it's on my door. See on my desk? Boss. So you got to obey me. You got to listen to me. Weakest leader ever. And this is so evident as we look at this story in 1 Samuel chapter 16. So here the story is this. God says, Samuel, go look for another leader. Go look for that next generation leader. So Samuel goes to the house of Jesse in Bethlehem, and Jesse has seven of his sons lined all up ready because one of them has an appointment from God. And so Samuel says, line up your sons from the oldest down. And so first God comes up. His name is Eliab. And he's a big, tall guy. He's handsome. He's striking. And Samuel says, that's got to be the guy. Surely the Lord's anointing is on him. But what does God say? In verse 7, 1 Samuel 16, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at, People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God's looking at the heart of every person here. All seven sons passed in front of Samuel. Next was Abinadab. And God said, no, he's not the one. Shammah, he's not the one. Every one of the seven, no, he's not the one. Finally, Samuel asked Jesse, well, hey, none of these guys, God's told me none of these guys are the one. So, got any more sons left? And Jesse said, well, yeah, got one son left. Verse 11, there is still the youngest, just a millennial. He is tending the sheep. Sent for him, we will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent for him and had him brought in. And it says here, he was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. And so Samuel is a picture. I love old paintings. That's why I love to have pictures up. Here's a picture of Samuel. And he's got this flask. He's got this horn of oil. And he just doesn't give a little dab. He actually pours the whole thing onto David's head. So his head is just soaking with the anointing. And he pours the whole thing. He doesn't reserve any of the oil for any one of those other sons. Right in front of all the other sons, he anoints them. Right? It's an incredible picture, isn't it? Second point. When it comes to leading and leadership, second thing we see is this. Number two, it's what's inside that counts. It's what's inside that counts. God measures people differently than people measure people. It's not your height, but it's your heart. The things that others don't yet see, but God sees. God doesn't measure by what everyone else sees. God did not measure David by where he is right now. He's 16 years old. He's just a kid, and he's tending sheep, right? I mean, no one thought he'd be a candidate to become the king. I mean, he shouldn't even have been there, even part of that conversation. God doesn't measure David because of where he is right now. I want to tell you, God doesn't measure you by where you are right now, right? So don't measure yourself by where you are right now, but what you can do for God, right? You know, and if you're a parent, don't measure your kids by where they are right now. Yeah, they're sprawled over the couch all the time. Yeah, they're always got their nose and their hands in the fridge, right? And they're playing these video games late at night, and they wake up late in the morning. Don't measure them by where they are right now. Measure them by their potential of where they're capable of going. By faith, measure them. Amen? That's what we need to do. Measure people by where they are. You know, and don't get discouraged by where you are right now. To God, you are never too old. You are never too young. You are never too broken. You are never too messed up for God to get you on the right path. Amen? You're never too old. You're never too broken. Your life is never too messed up. It doesn't matter what happened to you. God can get you on a path and give you the life you always dreamed about. Amen? You know, I've never been isn't that Super Bowl Sunday? Well, we're not going to talk about football. We're going to talk about basketball, right? You know, I've never been a basketball fan because I never played basketball. I've never been an NBA fan. But, you know, after learning about this guy, I might become an NBA, basketball fan. Does anybody, who's this? Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry. I didn't know about Stephen Curry much. Until I heard about him one time, and I started looking at him this week. Stephen Curry is an NBA star basketball player. He's been most valuable player of the entire NBA 3 years straight. 2015, 2016, 2017, MVP. When he was a kid, they said he was too skinny, too small. He didn't have what it takes. When he was just a kid learning to play basketball, he couldn't hold the ball up there because he was so weak. He'd have to hold it down here, and he'd have to push it up from there to get it into the hoop. You know, he kind of shoots still. He still shoots that way. No, he tried up for the college team. They wouldn't even take him. They cut him because he was too young and they just didn't want him. Today, analysts and many players in the NBA considered him to be the greatest shooter in NBA history. Can you imagine that? Nike. You know, everybody knows Nike? Nike shoes. Gave him a contract to represent their product. And so, Stephen Curry represented Nike shoes, but this is what we do every one of his shoes. He'd write stuff all over it. He'd write scriptures. This is, I can do all things. That's Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. See the other part of the other scriptures, Romans 8:28. We know that what that scripture says, most of us. In all things, God works for good for those who love him, called according to his purpose, right? So, he kept writing these scriptures, and Nike got upset. In fact, Nike reprimanded. He said, you can't put these scriptures on. You can't promote your faith, you know, through our product. But Stephen Curry said, no, I'm going to write the scriptures on. I'm not going to stop doing it. So they rejected him, and they dropped him from their contract. There was another company called Under Armour. Under Armour, when they heard that Stephen Curry had been dropped by Nike, they took him on like in a minute. They just immediately took him on. And Stephen Curry still does the same thing. He writes these scriptures on all the Under Armour shoes. But Under Armour was different than Nike. Under Armour actually let Stephen Curry take a look at the next shot. This is an Under Armour shirt. Look what's this is in the tongue. You open up the tongue and it says, I can do all things. You look on the heel, it says 4:13. Scriptures are written on. That was the Curry 1 shoe. The Curry 1 shoe. The Curry 2 shoe came out right after that. And that slogan in that first shoe was charged by belief. Charged by belief. That was the feature line of that shoe. Charged by belief. The Curry 2 line was called Iron Sharpens Iron, Proverbs 27:17. And that second, the Curry 2 sold out before it even hit the market. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Even before it hit the market, it sold out. So much for Nike. The Curry, here, I'll just give you more detail because I love this story about him. Nike had like 95% of the shoe market at that time. And all the rest kind of shared the other 5%. That's what I heard. I hope the figures are right. But today, now Under Armour has 35% of the shoe market. Wow. $14 billion in sales from just two of those shoe lines through Stephen Curry, right? All through a guy they said was too young to be good, right? Not good enough. Not good enough. It's amazing. It's an amazing story, isn't it? And today, you know what they say? You can't even keep the shoes in stock. They are so popular, right? Today, consider Stephen Curry to be the number one basketball player on the planet, right? It's inside. It's what's inside that counts. It's what's inside that counts. It's what's in you that will determine what's in front of you. And there was something, I would say there was someone in Stephen Curry that just kept him going, in spite of all the adversity, all the difficulties, all the criticism, he kept on believing. Amen? And it's a good example for us. You see, Stephen Curry is not just a leader, he's a lover of Jesus. He went to Christian school. He attended Christian college. Right? He believes the Bible, and he plays for Jesus. Right? It's an amazing story. And he's an ambassador for Christ. They just can't keep him from shutting up and talking about Jesus. There's more to me than just this jersey I wear. And that's Christ living inside of me. It's a great story. Number three, God is looking for lovers. He's looking for leaders, he's looking for lovers. Lovers who love what God loves. What does God love the most? Tell me. What does God, who said that? What does he love the most? People, right? Right on. God loves people. He loves people the most. And so therefore we should love people the most, right? If you have Jesus inside of you, then you have leadership inside of you. Would you agree with that? You have Jesus inside of you. You have his spirit inside of you. He's the spirit of the lion. He's the spirit of the conqueror, right? He's the spirit of the overcomer. He's the spirit of wisdom, knowledge, of understanding. You have this powerful spirit within inside of you because you've got Jesus. If you're born again, the Bible says you are a new creation. If you're born again, you accept Christ in your heart, you become a new creation. That means that you become a new person with a new life, with a new reason to live for, a new purpose, and a new passion to live for it, and the power to live through it, right? All that comes through Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. All this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. And so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. Is God going to reach people? Yeah. Who's he going to use to reach people? You and I. It's as simple as that. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again. Born again. I'm born again. You're born again. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with what? Great expectation. If you're born again, you've been given a new life, you've been given a new heart, and you've been given a new purpose to live for. You've been forgiven, and you are free to be all that God has called you to be. Amen? Leadership is about influence. Influence. John Maxwell says leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. And you have a role to play right now. Start from where you are. Don't be intimidated by adversity, from difficulty and setbacks. If you want to look at a guy who was set back, it's the guy that David was going to replace. That was King Saul. King Saul was the current king, but he's insecure. He's jealous of anybody coming up. And he's insecure because his relationship with God is insecure. He has a weak relationship with God. So therefore, his leadership is weak. Amen? It's a lesson for us too as well. Saul had so much baggage. He wasn't willing to expose himself and say, you know, I need help. And that's often the way we are too. Men are like that. I can handle life by myself. No man can handle life by himself, right? You know, there's one thing about David. If there's one thing that David was after, it wasn't a throne, it wasn't a crown, it wasn't a title, it wasn't a recognition. He was after the presence of God. If you read his story, if anything he wanted was the presence of God. Because with the presence of God came everything else he needed to be the kind of king that God wanted him to be. Amen? David had a heart after God. Number four, leadership is not something that you push yourself into. It's something that you prepare yourself for. Right? If you look at David. David wasn't out to get any recognition. He was just doing what he was supposed to be doing, and that was just tending sheep, right? You know, I love the 80s version of The Karate Kid, right? You know, I love that version, you know, with Mr. Miyagi and Danielson. Remember that? You know, Mr. Miyagi says, paint my fence. Up, paint, up. You know, and remember that? Is wax my car. You know, wax on, wax off. Danielson, wax on, wax off, right? Listen to these words on your PowerPoint. What you are doing right now and how you are doing it will determine what God will give you to do next. so important where you are right now. Serving with all your heart. Giving your best. What attitudes do you have? What mindset do you have? Right? You know, are you faithful? God is watching. Are you faithful in the small things? God hears every word you speak. God knows every thought you think, right? God knows. So many people I know are just waiting for that promotion. You know, just waiting for that promotion because that's when people are going to see me. That's when I'm going to perform my best. No! Give your best now to God. Whatever God has put into your hands to do. Amen? Some other people feel overlooked. They feel forgotten about. They say, well, I feel like I'm just in this holding pattern. I'm just waiting. Well, while you're waiting, work. While you're waiting, help, right? While you're waiting, you know, serve someone, help someone. Do it as unto the Lord. And then see what God will do for you. Amen? Amen. While you're waiting, work, right? If you're a floor sweeper, be the best floor sweeper ever. If you're a cashier, be the best. Keep on rising up in the position that God has placed you, right? In the tasks that God has given you to do, and he'll promote you. I love promotion because promotion gives you power. When you're the best in what you're doing, people notice. And it gives you an opportunity to tell people about why. Why you're in that place, because of God, because of Jesus, because he's blessing you. It's such a principle of success. Serve in that place that you are. Take ownership and serve and make somebody's day better. Amen? Number five, to lead is to serve. To lead is to serve. Now, after Samuel the prophet left, anointed David with oil, then he took off. What happened to David? I think about it. If I was David, I'd probably have thoughts of grandeur. Wow, I never expected this God. I've just been anointed to be king. He probably had thoughts of crowns and thrones and people bowing down to him. But so is that where David went immediately, right to the throne? Where did he go? Back to shepherding sheep. And he stayed there for a while until a call came and said, David, we need you. And so David went to the king to serve him. Just did a bunch of chores. Did it so well. Was so faithful that the king said, I want you to be my armor bearer. David was so devoted. And he served his king so well that the king promoted him. Actually, God promoted him through this other king. He said, I want you to become the protector of the king's armies. Became a leader of the king's armies. Even while Saul the king was trying to kill him. It's an amazing picture, isn't it? David was faithful in everything that he did. Right? I love these words by Kevin Gerald. If you're too big to serve, let's bring that up. It's not on there? Okay, let me say it to you. If you're too big to serve, then you're too little to lead. If you're too big to serve, you're too little to lead. I must have missed that on my PowerPoint. Stop worrying about titles. Stop worrying about position, right? Just make a difference where you're at. Just serve with excellence in the lane that God has called you to run in. Amen? And God will promote you. Leaders always serve. Leaders always serve. We're pastors here. We're leaders here. But we're here to serve. It's an honor for us to serve you. It's an honor for us to serve you. Amen? When you think about it, the cause that we serve is way greater than ourselves, isn't it? The cause that we serve and the one we serve, so much greater than ourselves. How about you? How about you? Why are you here? You're here to make a difference for God in this world. That's why you're here, right? And one of the first places that I believe that we need to make a difference is in the house of God. Everybody is called to play a purpose, to fulfill a purpose, to play a role in the house of God, to lead in the house of God, right? Number six, last one, leadership is ownership. Leadership is ownership. I believe that God is calling people out of the corners. He's calling people off of the bleachers to serve in God's house. You know, God loves his church so much, and he proved it by dying on the cross for us, didn't he? He died for her. You know, it's time that we take ownership. It takes, when people take ownership in any organization, it makes that organization way better. God is looking for ownership in God's house. When you take ownership in this house, you make this house stronger and you make this house healthier. You know that? When you tithe, you take ownership, don't you? When you volunteer, you take ownership. When you pray for somebody in this house, you take ownership. When you pray for the church to grow, you take ownership. When you encourage somebody, when you see somebody struggling, you get along beside them, you take ownership, right? Ownership. When you're friendly and when you smile and you welcome somebody that you've never seen before come into the house, you take ownership of the house. And you make the house healthier. You make the house stronger. I want to say to you this morning, God is saying this to me, work on your ownership. Work on your ownership. Because that's what makes you stand out. That's what makes you stand out. It's when you take ownership of who you, of what God has given you. You know, ownership. This is my Jesus. It's my Jesus. So don't use his name in vain. It's my Jesus. No, this is my church. Don't talk about that way about my church. Don't say that about my pastor, right? It's my pastor. It's my church. It's my Jesus. It's my city. It's my city. I love this city. It's mine. No, it's my nation. It's my nation. It's mine. I've taken ownership. It's my national anthem too. So don't fool around with the words, right? Don't fool around with what our godly forefathers set in place. Don't change the ancient boundary stones, right? Take ownership. Say something about it. Acts 13:36. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, he fell asleep and was buried with his fathers. God is looking for leaders who will serve their generation till the day that they die. God is looking for leaders in every sphere of influence, in every demographic, no matter how old or young you are. God is looking for you to stand up and represent and influence God in this generation. Amen? Leaders. It's leaders that can change a culture, that can change a community, that will change a church, that will change a city, that will change a nation for God, change the world for God. And who's going to do it? You are, right? Amen. Right answer. Can we just say amen to that? Amen to that? And thank God for that? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the calling on our lives, Lord. We just bow your heads and just agree with me in prayer. Father God, will you please make us that leader? Make me into a leader. Will you make that personalized this prayer as I repeat it? Father God, make me into that leader. Make me that lover that serves my generation with integrity of heart and who boldly and unashamedly professes Jesus to those who stand before us. Lord, I pray that in this world we would make a difference for your kingdom and for eternity in the lives of people that you put us in with. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone would say, amen. Amen. Keep your heads bowed for just a couple of minutes. You know, maybe you're here today and you've never invited and received Christ into your heart as your personal Savior from sin. And today God invites you to do that. He invites you to be set free. Set free from your past, set free from your sin. He invites you into a brand new life with a brand new purpose and with the power to live it. Following Jesus is the greatest thing you will ever do in your life. And this is your opportunity to say, I want to be a believer and a follower of Jesus. And if that's you, and you've never received Christ into your life, if you're ready for a brand new life, a brand new start, if you want to be born again, I want you to say this simple, short, but powerful prayer after me. In fact, can I have all of us kind of repeat this prayer out loud? Say after me, Father in heaven, I believe that what you did on the cross is for the forgiveness of my sins. I'm ready for you to change my heart. I'm ready for you to change my life. Today, I invite Jesus into my heart. Now, to be Lord and Savior of my life forever. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. If you said that prayer for the very first time, I want you to just hold up your hand and just wave it. Will you just wave it? All right? Hold up your hand. I receive Christ. I'm receiving him. I said that prayer. Anybody here? Right? Be bold. Be brave. Thank you, Father, for the salvation of every soul in this place right now.